This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. Welcome back. It's been a very, very long time. I think it's been 2 months since I've last put out an episode. And, for that I have to say sorry. I took a wee bit of a break because my sister and my brother had some pretty big news, and it was quite exciting. My brother got married, and then my sister gave birth. Like, it was a whole thing. And so I decided, you know what, let me take a wee break and go home to Malaysia and visit family and, you know, all that jazz. So I was gone for quite a while, and I didn't have any stock episodes piled up, unfortunately. So I'm so sorry for abandoning you guys so last minute without any notice. So I apologize for that. But it is so, so good to be back. I have stockpiled a few ideas on what I would like to talk about, and I've got a few good ones coming up and hopefully some good collaborations. So I'm really excited for that. But unfortunately for you guys, today's episode is going to be a little bit darker than what I would usually talk about. If you are unfamiliar with my show, hey guys, I'm Asha, and usually I talk about some really silly things like classes or songs or movies, theories, you know, just useless. Well, okay, I wouldn't say useless, but they're not, I guess, very important in the grand scheme of things. But today I want to have a little bit more of a serious conversation on reality, just a little bit, because high key, I genuinely think we live in a dystopia right now. Like, genuinely, we live in a dystopia. And I feel like a lot of us aren't aware of that. And I'm aware my audience is like generally high school students. So if anyone should be aware of it, it should be our age group, right? Because if anyone's going to make a change, if anyone's supposed to be aware of class consciousness, it should be our generations, because we have, you know, the time and the opportunity to make change and the determination. If I believe anything about Gen Z and Gen Alpha, is that we have determination and we have the power of the internet at our fingertips, and we can use that for the right things if we just are educated enough to do so. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of big things today, and so I'm just going to be zooming through. I won't be going to too in-depth about it. Well, not as much as I would like to anyway. If there's anything that I touch upon today that you think resonates with you, or you want me to talk about it deeper and have me go have a whole specific episode on that specific topic, just DM me. My Instagram is just Asha Amma Asri, Asha _ Amma Asri. And yeah, just reach out to me there. And I am more than happy to do an episode on that. And hey, I don't think if I've ever said this before, but if anyone's listening and is thinking, hey, you know what, I want a guest star on Thoughts and Theories, flick me a text. More likely than not, I will say yes. The only thing is I'm busy with classes. Other than that, I would be happy to have any of my listeners to come on to the show. So don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, I want to talk about this on your podcast. Would you be keen? Yes, I'm so keen. Anyway, that aside, I would just like to get straight into it, because it's quite a chunky episodes. Chunky enough that I have actually written down notes for once, and I've got like some pretty big topics I'll be discussing. Wait, let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I've got six big like sort of specific categories. And the first one I want to talk about is plastic surgery. Yeah, I know. Exciting. So exciting. I get it. Everyone is in the movement right now of your body, your choice. And while I respect that, I feel like the reason why I don't like plastic surgery nowadays is it's different now. I feel like the motivation that people have for plastic surgery now is less of, hey, I want to look more beautiful. I want to fix my imperfections. By the way, you are beautiful as you are. I do not condone plastic surgery. Just listen to this. But people are wanting to get like plastic surgery less for the fact that they feel imperfect and they want to be beautiful, and more now because they want to look expensive. They want to look like those celebrities, but not in a gorgeous sort of way, but like in a way that I have money. Like, because only people who have money can afford plastic surgery, right? So now people want, you know how like back then it was promoted like plastic surgery that was so seamless, you can't even tell you had plastic surgery, right? Like a little nose job there, a little Botox a little bit of lip filler there. Like you can't even tell that you had plastic surgery. But now, to have that visual, like, I guess, plastic perfection on your face, to be able to tell that you had plastic surgery is a social indicator to other people that, yes, you are indeed rich. And yes, you are better than other people, you know? Because, I don't know, I feel like there's been this shift, because there's been obviously like a lot of allegations going on, like about, like, you know, Drake's supposed BBL or Elon Musk's like Botox or whatever. Like, I don't know, like a lot of the rich upper class elites are starting to do plastic surgery, and they're kind of bad plastic surgery. Like it's obvious, you know, that they're doing it, and more are wanting to do it to emulate that. The thing is, you get to a point in wealth where you are so wealthy, you have no care in the world. You do not have any other worries, you know, because, you know, humans, most of us these days are fighting tooth and nail to keep the roof over our heads and get the education that we deserve and, like, you know, get that bank, basically, so that we can feed ourselves and our family, right? Whereas these rich people, they don't even need to work in order to get the money that they have. They just need to breathe and they get money. I think, I mean, like, there's obviously, like, a huge gap between a billionaire and just a normal person. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the thing is, the elites have nothing to worry about because they're so rich. So what do they do with their free time? They want to make themselves more perfect, more doll-like, more symmetrical. They're sacrificing their own expression and individuality for the sake of this uniform, like plastic, square, expressionless robot, smooth as a baby thing. Like, I don't know what they're looking for, but they're also doing these other things where they would fly all the way to, like, I don't know, like a different country to get like the top like medical examiners and like have like vitamin injections and whatever, right? Because the only thing they worry about is not only their complexion, but their mortality, because they've gotten to a point where they worry about nothing but about when they're going to die. Because most of us, hopefully, will live up to like 70, if that, you know. But they're like, no, that 70 is not enough. I want to be immortal. I want to live forever. And that is the only worry that they have. And, well, come on. They've got nothing else to worry about but that. So their biggest enemy is time. Their biggest enemy is themselves and their own insecurity, I suppose. And for any of those people who are interested in getting plastic surgery because, you know, they want to look better or because they, you know, want to look more expensive or whatever, I don't do it. Genuinely don't do it. I think, what's her name? I think that K-pop artist Jisoo, I think she said it in an interview once where she was basically saying how when she got one thing done, it's like an addiction. When you get one thing done, you want to get another thing done because you see one imperfection and you've fixed it, quote unquote fixed it, and then you see another imperfection and then you want to fix that because you've already, you know, put your toe in the pool, might as well just dive in kind of thing. That is not a mentality that you should have. You should not start at all because you are not imperfect. Like, yes, you know, you have like, you know, I don't know, like a mismatch in skin tone, or you've got like acne, or you've got imperfect teeth or whatever. Do not get veneers. Do not start. I mean this in the most like polite way I'm trying to say it, but I mean it. And also like with the way that the world is going right now, because I feel like we are making like a steady decline in as a whole, as a community, as a society, and we are getting like, you know, I feel like we're running towards the finishing line, as in like that finishing line, as in we're running towards being in the dystopian movies that we've always feared. Right. So what is that movie called? Uglies, I think. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard something about like how you have to like save up money to like look in a certain way because otherwise you're considered an ugly or something. If you a regular person, the lower class, the commonwealth or whatever, if you get plastic surgery and you get the same procedures like the square face and the cushion face or whatever that the elites do, there will come a time where there's a very like where there's the class war, right? The rich versus the lower class. And then those people who had the plastic surgery, that could be an indicator of a class traitor. And I don't know, call me radicalized, but I don't know. I worry. Because it sounds fake. It sounds like that's not gonna happen. Except things that sound fake are happening more and more each day, and I am terrified, not gonna lie. But yeah, no. I feel like a lot of people are choosing Botox, which is like a visualization of consumption over expression. Like you're choosing, like I feel like you're wearing capitalism on your face, and like choosing that to be more important than who you are as an individual. Like you're choosing to erase your identity for the sake of the mold. And, you know, don't do that. Anyway, so that's plastic surgery aside. Again, I can talk about this in a more in-depth way in another episode if you so wish. But the next thing I want to talk about is still on the topic of class consciousness, because I think that is the general vibe of today's episode. But I want to talk about how the elites and the powerful, I would say, are dumbing down the masses. Okay. I saw this explained really great in a TikTok video about this girl asking, hey, how come no one trains you anymore in corporate jobs? Like, she was saying how she got trained more in a pizza video, like in a pizza shop, about how to like make pizza and serve pizza and stuff than she did when she got her corporate job, right? And then someone stitched that and he actually explained it really well. And it was basically like, no one teaches you how to do your job because they themselves don't know how to do their job, or they weren't taught properly and they had to observe other people in order to get to the station that they are now. So the way that they teach newcomers is, instead of actually teaching you how to learn the software and how to do the thing and how to do the task, is, hey, come look over my shoulder and just watch as I do this. And that's, in a sense, that is one way of learning, but that is definitely not efficient. And that is definitely not like the way things go. I'm not saying, of course, that every corporation does this, every company does this. No, I'm not in any shape, way or form saying that, but there are a lot of corporations who do this. And the reason why they do is because a lot of the upper ups, that's not the, you know, the people at the top, a lot of them were discussing them when they were making budget cuts, actually fired the people who are, you know, supposed to train you because, you know, they're quote unquote, you know, useless. Someone who is just there to waste money because you don't actually do anything except for teach other people. And people can just learn themselves by watching other people and, you know, yada, 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 right? So this creates this sort of vacuum, right, where the people at the bottom are fighting and spending all their time, their free time, even off working hours, trying to learn the system, trying to learn how to work and how to jump up the ladder, basically, how to stand out enough that you will be promoted. And you can't question authority, right, in this case. Because if you do, and you're like, actually, you're not teaching me anything. How do you do this? How do you do that? If you actually learn the software, if you actually learn how to do the job from the inside out, rather than just the surface level that they are teaching you, you won't be able to stay dumb, you know? And that's what the higher-ups want you to be. Because if you stay dumb, you won't be promoted. If you won't be promoted, their position, the higher-ups' position, is not threatened. And if they're not threatened, then they can continue to be complacent and they can continue to not change the way they do things. And that is not good, of course. Because I think a lot of the times we wonder when we're like, you know, at work or, you know, seeing all these like really rich and powerful people, and you wonder, do you actually do anything at work? Like, how are you affording to go to like Fiji for like 2 months and still get a working paycheck and like, and act as if you're clocking in and not using any of your annual leave? Like, what is going on? Like, and everyone's like kind of like biting each other and like scratching and trying to get themselves to that position so that they can do the same thing. But technically, what the higher-ups are doing is not allowed. They're just doing that because no one can get to where they are, so no one can question it because no one knows the software and the format the way the higher-ups do. So you guys might be wondering, I was talking about class consciousness. Why are you suddenly like, Asha, you're talking about class consciousness. Why are you suddenly talking about, like, the system of a company, right? Because it's a reflection of what's happening right now in reality, right? Like, that is class consciousness. The elites are doing like if all, honestly, like, excuse my language, but like they are doing nothing. They are doing nothing, but they are getting the bucks. They're getting so much money and they're having the free time to ruin our planet, to do horrible, heinous things. Whereas we, the common people, right, are stuck working these 9-to-5 jobs, these dead-end jobs, and getting actually having to work 2-3 jobs, you know, and having to fight each other, and like they're trying to pit us against each other to make sure that we don't see that actually they're useless and all our like all our money and all our things and consumerism and whatever is going towards them and is benefiting them and their causes, because they want us to stay blind. They want us to remain like sheep. They don't want us educated. They don't want us to revolt and speak up against them. The thing is, money makes the world go round, right? They control the media. They control how people perceive the world and what news gets to who. That's why there's like so many unreliable like news sources or whatever, like, you know, Firefox or whatever. Have you noticed, like, I'm not trying to discredit all news sources, but I just want us, the youth, to understand that there is a bigger game at play here. And not everything we see on the internet, and I am guilty of this as well. I'm not trying to talk to you from like some superior moral high ground, but like there is a bigger game at play here. There's a lot of propaganda shoved down our throats, and we are not immune to it. We are not immune to it. Okay, it's so easy. They just need to learn how we work. Gen Z might be like, oh, boomers are so dumb for like, you know, falling for this, for that or whatever. But like the fact of the matter is we are as well. We are falling for the exact same thing. They're just changing it up. They're being creative in how they feed you this sort of like propaganda. They feed into our interests. I don't know whether that be K-pop or books or movies or whatever. And they just, you know, subtly sprinkle it in there and you don't even notice. It's like subliminal messaging or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing that I was saying about the company, like, it's not a reflection of all companies, but it does happen. But you know what it is a reflection of? Definitely a reflection of reality. What they're trying to teach us is learned helplessness. I don't know if any of you have ever like learned that in school, but learned helplessness is when, I don't know how to explain it. But I'll talk about it in the context of the fleas. So there was an experimentation done a few years back where they put a bunch of fleas in a jar. And then they shut the lid of the jar. And obviously fleas, they fly and they want to flee the jar. Okay, no, sorry, serious. They want to get out of the jar, so they would jump up and they would like fly out, but they can't because they keep hitting that roof over their head. So that is the blocking point for them. So they jump, and they keep trying to get out, but they can't. I don't know how many days they were stuck in that jar, maybe 2 or 3 days. But then one day, the scientist or experimenter or whatever, they took off the lid of the jar, and then you find that the fleas are never able to fly any higher than the lid of that jar. They don't feel the resistance of the jar anymore. They're just so used to it. They will, even though freedom is right over that corner, just right at their fingertips, they are physically capable of flying out. But it's mentality. They're so used to the you know, things that are blocking their head and the mental shackles, I would say, that they will never be able to fly outside of that jar because they have told themselves that they cannot. That is what learned helplessness is. When you are forced into a helpless situation, and then even though you're out of it, it feels like you still are. That is the case for a lot of like abuse victims. Even that's why it's so hard for them to feel safe and feel better and mentally adjust after they have been removed from that abusive situation, because in their minds, they are still there. We cannot see it, but they are still there. And the fleas experiment is actually so good because it's the best visual example of something like this ever. And I just – it was – I don't know how humane that was, but I don't know. Fleas, I guess. That actually goes really well with – the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is actually AI. I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I talked a little bit about it on – I think I dedicated a whole episode actually about it on Arena's podcast show. Shout out Arenality. Definitely listen to it. It's awesome. But – I don't think I dedicated a whole episode on my podcast. I think I will at some point, but there's just so much to talk about. So I'll just like quickly like, you know, go over some of the ideas that I had. But talking about learned helplessness, right? Guys, you do not need AI to write your email, okay? You just don't. You don't. 2 years ago, we were writing our own emails, okay? We were writing our own essays. Come on. What do you mean? What do you mean that you physically can't? Like, do you not see what they're trying to do, what the elites are trying to do? They're trying to dumb us down. I told you this, right? Look, I'll start from the beginning. AI, right? AI has advanced so much within the last year alone, okay? It's everywhere. It's in our automatic lights. It's in Siri. It's in our TVs. Obviously, it's in our phones. It's in our watches. It's in our calculators. It's in literally every facet of our home and our lives. Literally, it could just be in our blood at this point. Like, it's everywhere. And I understand when it is everywhere and when it is so easily accessible. Like, it is, like, you know, when you Google search something and it's just the AI generated response is at the top of the search bar, like. It's so easily accessible, and even when you're not looking for it, it's right there, right? Just because it feels like it's inevitable doesn't mean it is. They're trying to force feed you all this AI-generated bull, right? But that's because they want you to be dependent on it. They're trying to force us into a corner so that we learn how to use it, and then we forget how to function with our brains, right? And I've heard a lot of like arguments about this, like, oh, you know, this is just, you know, a signifier of the change of times. Didn't people think the same way about calculators and, you know, things like that? And like, you know, it's just supposed to help you and stuff. It should be incorporated in the education system, whatever. Well, okay, please. Sorry, but look, AI is so damaging, and I think you guys have heard this a lot, but it is damaging in more than you think. Like, it's not just taking away people's jobs, right? And that is another thing that I will talk about. But it is also ruining your mental development, okay? These adults or, like, millennials or even Gen Zers, like, us saying, hey, like, I'm still capable of doing it. I'm still capable of writing my own email. I just use it because it makes my job easier. Like, I'm still capable of writing my own essay, but, you know, if there's something that makes it easier, why take the longer route? That's the thing. a lot of us who argue this, we already have our brains like developed, or we are like we are already on our way. Like we are usually in our like 20s and above, 20s, 30s, 40s, something like that, right? So we've already learned the core skills. Okay, we've learned how to multiply the numbers. Okay, we've learned how to write an essay. We've learned the social skills needed to go outside and talk to people. We've learned how it is to reference other people's works and what it means for other people to have intellectual property, and how you can, like, how, you know, what plagiarism is and all those things. But the thing is, the young generation, Gen Alpha, Gen Beta, no. Or the younger end of Gen Z, they will not learn that. Why should they? Why should they? Because you're right. Why should they ever learn that skill when there is an easier path? Why should they, when there is someone, something, ChatGPT, to just like generate an essay for them? Okay? So they are never learning the skills. They are never developing the muscles needed to think in the way that we, the older generation, were told to think. And if that's never generated, if AI was suddenly taken away from them, or AI was purposely like feeding them some, you know, bad stuff, right? They would never know. And then they would just be stuttering, you know, not knowing where to go, and just like looking around, you know, dumbfounded, not knowing what to do. Because if you just suddenly took all the devices away and told them, write an essay, they wouldn't know how to do it. Because they never learned. They never allowed themselves to take in what their teachers are telling them. Okay. So, yes, I'm like, AI is a huge mistake. And okay, another thing, this was another thing that I was talking about on Arenality. And like, they're always listening, right? And you guys, I was crazy. Well, I thought I was crazy. And a lot of people thought, okay, like, chill out, right? But like, genuinely just think about it for a second, right? Think, anyone who owns like an iPhone, for example, or like Samsung, like for Bixby or whatever, but like they always listen for like their core commands, right? Which is like, hey Siri, or hey Bixby, or whatever, right? Which means that the microphone has to be on all the time, right? Which means that they're always listening for those keywords. But how do you know that they are just listening for, hey Siri? How do you know they're not listening for other things, like your more personal information, like your credit card data or whatever, whatever, right? Like I don't know what they want to do with their data, with our data. I don't know what they want to do with what we talk about, like, but whatever we have in our day-to-day lives, whatever we talk about is very important to them, right? And they're listening to us all the time. And to prove this fact, did you guys know that Siri is going in a lawsuit right now? Yeah. I don't know how widespread it is, but basically, I think, I don't know exactly the whole thing about the lawsuit, and Apple is like not like deny, like is not confirming anything, but they did say if anyone like wants to claim money from Siri, like I think it's if you own 5 Apple or like Siri enabled devices, you can claim it for like $20 per device. So yeah, our data is worth $20 apparently. But what I'm saying is Siri is going through a lawsuit right now, and that lawsuit is about listening to their users. They're going through a lawsuit, and while of course I think Apple is denying everything allegedly, they are still giving money to people, to whoever asks. So if anyone's like, you know, got an Apple device and, you know, has like Siri enabled, I don't know if it's available in New Zealand or whatever. Like a lot of my media right now is coming from America, because I feel like that's where a lot of the like the bad stuff happens. And yeah, I feel like that's the central hotkey for like, you know, things that are going down bad, right? Anyway, so as far as I know, I heard it from America. I don't know what's going on with New Zealand, but yeah, no. So they deny it, of course, but yet they're still giving money to people. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? I'm just saying. Anyway, going back to the topic of AI stealing our jobs, hell yeah, they are stealing our jobs. But of course, they're going to go to the humanities people first, specifically the arts people, right? So think about animators, think about artists. Oh no, but like AI is just supposed to make art more accessible. Okay, shut the frick up. Shut the frick up, okay? Art has always been accessible to anyone, okay? All you need is a pad and paper. Pad and paper? A pen and paper. There it is. All you need is a pen and paper. You don't have that? Okay, get a stick and go outside in the dirt. It's literally, it's so, art is creativity, right? Creativity is human expression. Human expression is soul, I think. It's so unique. And it is not something that can be emulated with AI, okay? Soulless junk, all right? By the way, anyone who's using the, like, Ghibli filters, by the way, stop, please. Even the artist himself is like, yo, don't do that. Because he, I think, like, dude, like, you're disrespecting the artist that you care for so much by using quick AI stuff, okay? And then with animators, right? They're, like, for you guys, you're thinking, oh, but, like, that's so far away. I don't think there's going to be actually a show that's going to be AI generated and they're going to get rid of, like, animators. Yeah, you're dead wrong. The studio that produced Parasite, that, like, really viral Parasite, I think, film or TV show? I didn't watch it. That same studio came out with a kids show called Cat Biggie, and that is AI generated. And their team probably has, I don't know, around 5 to 6 people on site for generating, I don't know, like 3 to 6 minute episodes. And they also do like IP identifiers and like they see what's like viral and famous on the internet so that they can see what's trending and then have the AI write it for them. And well, I don't know how totally AI it is, but I know that AI makes a huge impact on that. How do I know that? Because generally like an animator team on site would be around 60 to 70 people, 60 to 70 people, right? On site only, right? And that is the animators. Whereas Cat Biggie has like, I don't know, 6 to 7 people on site. You know, obviously for the company, they're like, you know how much money that saves us? Yeah. You know how much like kids you're going to freaking manipulate with that? Holy crap. Like that soulless art is horrible. Like, I don't know what's going on. And you guys might think, oh, but that's not going to catch on, you know, whatever. It's not going to be popular. Guys, we live in a world where Cocomelon is successful. All right? Cocomelon. And for any millennial out there, it's like, what's wrong with Cocomelon? A lot of things. Okay, I don't have time to really talk about it, but just like off the cuff right now, Cocomelon is like really bright and tense. There's always noise and it's always like the way it is programmed and written is just specifically to catch the attention of your child. I don't know much about their like life lessons or whatever. I don't watch any Cocomelon, but like I swear it's like a hypnotic thing. Like I've seen videos of like people like their baby is sleeping and then the Cocomelon like jingle like starts in the beginning and like a zombie rising from the grave, they wake up to watch it. Like it's all constant colors, it's flashing, it's so bright, it's so vibrant, it's loud, and it's all damaging your child's attention span because it's all quick cuts. If you notice, if you watch like an episode of like Cocomelon, I think one shot like before it, like a shot as in before like the camera angle changes or whatever, one shot probably doesn't last more than 7 seconds. Okay, you know how freaking bizarre that is? That no, there's no settling, there's no quiet. Okay, I talked about this way too long, but you know what I mean. Cocomelon, bad, right? For any millennials out there. So yeah, this is a world where Cocomelon is supremely successful. Okay, so stuff like Cat Biggie, which is going to prey on young kids, like most like brain rot activities, Skibidi or whatever, like I don't know, is just, I don't know, I don't see a bright future ahead of us. And that is so devastating to say because we are filled with potential. We have such intellect. We have such empathy within us. We are capable of it. But since young, the whole world, it feels like, is against you because they're trying to make sure you will never be able to exceed more than, you know, what they give you, right? They are force-feeding us garbage. Speaking of garbage, though, that leads into my next topic, which is the capitalism vacuum. Sorry, I know I'm going about this really fast. I just wanted to go over all these, like, significant points. Again, if you guys want to talk, if you want me to talk about it in more detail and at a slower rate, text me on Instagram. Obviously, capitalism is the root of all evil, obviously. But also, like, as much of a joke that is, it kind of is. Just a little bit. It kind of is, yeah. The thing is, for people who are trying to underconsume, right? So, like, people who are not trying to get the newest iPhone every single year, you know, who's, like, trying to save money and is trying to, like, be practical, so buying more expensive things for the higher-end product rather than, like, cheap things and continuously do it or whatever, Does it ever feel like it's impossible to do? Like you buy a phone and it literally just breaks within a year or two. And you're like, okay, that's crazy. I spent almost $2,000 on this phone. Why is it breaking? Okay, whatever. I saw a video of this one user who was saying how she got a vacuum 2 years ago. And then there was this one part of it that was broken. And then she went to try and buy a new one, but at that specific part of the vacuum. And then she went to the store, couldn't find it. Okay, so she emailed the manufacturing company and they were like, oh, sorry, we don't make that because that line is discontinued now. And she was like, what? She bought that vacuum 2 years ago. It was the newest model at the time. What do you mean you don't make it anymore? You see how insane that sounds? Like, just for, like, I guess context, people like our parents' age, like the like Gen X or like boomer generation, they have like vacuums or like ironing tables and like pots and things like that are still functional to this day. Like, you ever feel like the things that was bought back in the day was a lot more sturdy, a lot more quality for cheaper, whereas nowadays it's more expensive for literal garbage. Like, everything is so fragile these days. It's so pretty. Yeah, it follows the trends. Yeah, but how long will that actually last you? How much money is that going to cost you? I think I talked about the boot theory at one point on this episode, on this podcast. But like, basically, you search it up because I can't explain it very well. But like, but the basic premise is the poor person will end up spending more in the long term for buying cheap boots more often rather than the rich person who will spend more in the beginning, but in the long term doesn't actually spend that much because they buy expensive, higher quality boots from the very get-go. So basically, there's like an inherent difference just by the fact that they were born poor. You know what I mean? So yeah, whatever. The reason why I'm talking about the capitalism vacuum and products that are made to break and things like that is because I feel like we're always being forced to spend money. And I think as well that there's a lot of older generations that are like, oh, these young kids, like, don't know anything. Like, they're always spending money on the most useless things. Like, you know, back in my day, I learned how hard work. I learned how to save money. I learned how to do all these things. I don't know why I changed accents for a second. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people don't understand why we spend this money, right? Our lifestyles are different now. Yes, I need a phone. I will take care of my phone as best as I could, but that phone probably won't last more than 3 years because it's made to break. Holy crap. And, you know, our clothes, cheap polyester, unethically made. And if it is ethically made, it costs like $80. And is it worth it? $80 for a black t-shirt? Like, it's just, there's a lot of conflicting things going on, and it is difficult, right? And we are always being told to consume, even though we're trying our best not to. Not only is the cost of living crisis skyrocketing right now, right? Like, to have veggies these days is a sign of wealth, seriously. Like, it's so hard to be healthy. It's so hard to be disconnected from like the vacuum that is not only capitalism but also social media and the like dead internet zone that is going on there right now, right? It's just right now, it's such a different time that we're living in that a lot of like these older people do not understand. And I'm not saying this is true for all older people, but there is like a still like significant amount of people who are like, come on now. Like, it was so easy for me to get a house. Yeah, and also your house was like 90 cents. So, yeah, chill out and shush. Do not join in this discussion, I swear. But talking about consumption, right? I think a lot of us are mistaking consumption and personality. What do I mean by that? So I know there's a lot of like things going popular right now. Like, for example, the jewelry stack, which is basically a stack of jewelry that turns into like a bracelet keychain thingy that hangs around your phone or maybe like on your wrist or disc or whatever. And you're just buying it. I don't know, on like Amazon or something, but you're just buying that stack. That is consumption. That is like, there's a difference between buying a jewelry stack and making a jewelry stack yourself from a collection of jewelry that you have done over time, right? There is a difference between a DIY charm bracelet that, you know, your niece made for you than one that you bought on Etsy. There is a difference. You see, I feel like again, like a lot of my talking points are not my own ideas. Like this is things that I have like gathered on like, you know, hot takes and whatever, like on different people that I've like listened to and, you know, different people I've like talked to and things like that. So like if you hear anything familiar, then it's most likely because of that. And this is also like an age old topic that we all talk about, right? But the capitalism market or like these sellers or whatever, they are making identity tokens for anxious consumers. We are the anxious consumers. There are always new trends. There are always new things that are going on these days about this and that. And like, if you want to stay relevant, if you want to stay cool, and if you want to be quirky, and they have capitalized on that, quirky, what it means to be quirky. And they've also capitalized on being a nerd, things that were, you know, bad and like you were supposed to be bullied for that, like in school. Now they've capitalized on it and they're making identity tokens. What do I mean by identity tokens? This, selling jewelry stack or charm bracelets or whatever, and us falling for that. Just because we have it doesn't mean we have a personality, okay? I think a lot of us are getting confused between consumption and personality. So just keep that in mind. Again, I'm not here to villainize anyone who's got like a jewelry stack or anything like that. Because again, we are so viable. Is viable the right word? I don't know. But we are so easy to be influenced, right? It's so easy. So if any of you have, like, even me, bro, like, I've got, like, my own things that I follow, the big bottle trend or whatever, I don't know. Everyone does it, and it's normal to, like, do it, but I'm just saying, like, to be more aware, to be more conscious of what you are consuming, of what you are doing in your day-to-day life, and I just want us all to, like, sit back and for a moment and just think critically for a second. When you get, like, that ad about, like, this thing or that, like, why do you think you're being promoted then? What are they trying to push you towards? Yeah. So it's a little bit of like food for thought, I suppose. But that also actually leads in quite well to my other point, which is the double life or like Instagram over analyzation. I said we are so easily to be influenced, right? So for any of you like school students who are in relationships right now, trust your partner. I beg of you. Don't trust what an influencer or what a random person says on the internet, because it's oversimplification. That is it, full stop. Oversimplification. That is what Instagram likes to do. If he does this and he does that because of that, he's cheating on you. Don't listen to a person that you just met for 15 seconds and not the guy who you've been or girl you that you've been talking to for like 4 months or a year. Or multiple years. Why would you ever trust this person on the internet and not the partner that you've been talking to for so long? Don't let those words worm into your head, okay? If he wanted to, he would. What? If she wanted to, she would. No, okay? The same thing could be applied to you as well. You want to. Are you doing it? No, you're not. The thing is, we are flawed, right? Sometimes we'll have good days. Sometimes we'll have bad days. Sometimes we'll, you know, mess up and disappoint you. But also sometimes we'll surprise you and make you feel loved, right? It's about making concessions. It's about loving people despite the flaws, being there for people in their hardest times. The thing is, I saw someone say this, but it was like the price of community is inconvenience, right? Or the price of community is a little bit of annoyance. And yes, we're all going to be annoyed at each other at some point. We're all going to be upset at each other at some point. We cannot expect other people to be perfect when we ourselves are not perfect. So I don't know. Just, again, food for thought. Just, like, think about it a little bit. Like, trust your partner. Talk to the people around you. Don't be so sucked into the void and trends of that is online. Like, hey, if you have a partner who's named Jared and he's blonde and he works at like 4th Street or whatever, he was here with another girl. I just want to tell you guys, he's cheating, you know? And like, those videos always like rub me the wrong way a little bit because I don't know, you're kind of airing that whole business to other people. I don't know. I talk a lot about it in my Can Guys and Girls Just Like Be Friends? Platonic versus Romantic Relationships episode. That's what it's called, with Coco and Matt. So if you guys want a more in-depth detail about that, just check out that episode. But I'm running out of time, so just like real quick, last one I want to talk about dumbing down. Oh, wait, no, not dumbing down. What is it? Repeating behavior. In case you guys are still unconvinced that we are in the Matrix. No, I'm kidding. In case you guys are still unconvinced that we're living in a dystopia and things are crazy and no one's like listening to anything and whatever, I just want to remind you guys that we are living in a repeating society. Like, things are going around in circles. We are not evolving. We are just repeating the same behavior, but in a different light, in a different generation. For example, streaming services. That's the best example you can get. There are a gajillion streaming services out there, all with different shows, you know, all with their own ads and their own prices to pay. It's literally cable, but worse. It's cable, but worse. You know, because you'll watch, I don't know, the first three Harry Potter films on like Netflix, and then you need the last four Harry Potter films on Prime or something like that. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of streaming services with their own like agenda and stuff like that, and they're trying to get you to subscribe to that. Everything is a subscription these days. It's just cable. If anyone's like, yeah, it's just cable, guys. And then I think Uber had announced a new thing called Rideshare, where basically what you can do is there's like a location that they designate for you where you and other Uber, potential Uber riders, will meet up there, and then the Uber will pick you up at that point. Guys, that's the bus. It's the bus, but worse. So, you know what I mean? Like, things are just, Ubers are supposed to be, or Ubers or like taxis or whatever, they're supposed to be like convenient for you. And now they're doing these things like to make it more convenient for them and less convenient for us, kind of thing. I don't know. And then this leads very nicely as well to my last topic for the day, which is, I know a lot of you guys are sick of hearing it, but I'm going to keep talking about it until my throat runs dry. Okay. We need to talk about Palestine. I haven't properly talked about it since I've dedicated a whole episode about it properly last time, and I wish to do so again, and I hope I will soon. But I'm just going to really quickly dedicate some time to talk about it today, okay? If you guys don't know what's going on with Palestine, or you want to follow like more Palestinian journalists, I definitely recommend you guys to follow Motaz Azaza. So that's M-O-T-A-Z underscore A-Z-A-I-Z-A. Okay, he's a Palestinian journalist on the ground, and he records like and takes a lot of pictures about the reality of what is going on in Gaza, the West Bank, and all those things, right? So Palestine, I don't know if you guys are aware, but we are like, we are either in World War III right now, or we are approaching it. I feel like anyone who is aware like knows already. But if not, then I'm telling you now, like, it's coming if it's not already happening. There, I mean, like, the Middle East is already in war, if you guys don't know. And I will be talking about a little bit more gruesome stuff, so just, like, be aware of that. But if you don't recall, like, in World War II, there were concentration camps, right? But a lot of the times, those concentration camps weren't actually in Germany. They were in other places. Right. Right now there are and they were like, oh, Germany was like, no, we don't have concentration camps. What are you talking about? Look at Germany. We've got nothing there. That's because they deport their people and then put the Jews somewhere else. Now it's pretty much happening the same thing with Palestinian people. Right. I think right now there are like two confirmed concentration camps. One is Alligator Alcatraz, which I think Trump himself went to do a tour around, which is absolutely crazy. By the way, like, you guys should definitely like look at videos or like search up things like this and like share it, because this is hard to watch. People are being inhumanely confined in such small spaces and not getting their rights. Like, okay, guys, people are not getting food and water. I don't know how like a lot of people can just like, oh yeah, people are not getting food and whatever. It starts with dehumanizing language, like calling them, I don't know, rats or whatever, and like, you know, less than. And then once you associate them with that, like, yeah, you know what? They deserve that. No, they don't. They are people too. It's just human rights, period. Everyone should have the right to food. Everyone should have the right to water. And no one should be scared of being bombed in their sleep. Please, I beg of you to look online. I know you guys are online. Go online, search these things up, like it, share it, spread the word. And if you can, if you are able, donate directly to their GoFundMes. If you see one, if you see one of those videos, don't skip it. Watch it to the end. Okay? If you can't donate, that's fine. Interact. Boost up their video. There's just so many bad things that are happening in the world that is being pulled under the rug, even though we all can see it's happening live right in front of our eyes. But yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I was a bit passionate there for a second. But going back to the circles thing about repeating behavior, this is it. America's concentration camps for, remember, like America's concentration camps for in World War II for the, I think the U.S., Japanese U.S. citizens, something like that. Well, it's happening again today with alligator Alcatraz. So that's what I mean. Things are repeating itself. And it seems like nobody's aware of it, or it seems like everyone is aware of it, but no one is doing anything about it. So I want you all to be to seek out knowledge of this. I had a conversation with an old classmate of mine, and they were basically like, "Hey, I don't know, I'm not really comfortable talking about this, or like, I don't know, I feel like I can't really make a difference. I mean, like, you probably can, but like, I don't know if I can make a difference. Literally, just share, just watch it." You don't even need to tell anyone about it. Just watch it. We are witnessing their deaths in real time. We should give them the respect that they deserve and be present and help them spread the word. I don't know. I think I have talked about most of the things I wanted to. But I'm going to end with a update from the Instagram account Let's Talk Palestine, and what they do is they've got like this community thing where they do updates, daily updates about what's going on in real time in the real world. The day that I'm recording this is, oh, let me check the date. It's the 17th of July, and it is a Thursday. Okay, so by the time this goes on air, this is probably outdated, but here, day 648. One. The IOF launched three raids on Shati Camp North, killing 23 people and injuring 35 plus, including 8 plus kids and many missing under the rubble. Two. Israel attacks GHF aid trap in Rafah for the third day. Drones and gunfire killed 2 Palestinians and injured 30 plus. Three. Al-Quds brigades claim killing IOF soldier in attempt to capture him, plus targeted a carrier in Khan Yunis. 4. The IOF ordered expulsion for 16 North Gaza areas, including Gaza City and Jabalia. 5. The IOF escalated attacks on Lebanon and Syria, killing 12 people in 12-plus airstrikes on Wadi Farah and Bekaa Valley, which is in Lebanon. Bombings of Damascus, Hama, and Homs, which is in Syria, killed 9-plus people. 6. UNRWA, 1 in 10 children screened in clinics for being malnourished. 7. In the north of Palestine, IOF airstrike on Gaza City killed 9 people. Bombing of house in Zeitoun killed 4 people. Attacks killed 3 people in Tufa, plus 14 still trapped under the rubble since Monday. 8. Al-Shifa Hospital in the north forced to halt services due to fuel shortage from Israeli blockade. And 9. The West Bank. IOF abducted 32-plus civilians in overnight raids, including freed captives and injured youth. 10. Last one. The IOF airstrike killed 7 people in Bani Suhela, which is in the central of Palestine. That is tough to hear, right? I hope to do more of these updates for you guys so that, I don't know, like a little bit of reality is stuck in our brains. I just want to de-influence you guys a little bit. And again, we are all victim of it. No shame. No shame in coming out of this. But it's just, we are living in a dystopia. There is a class war going on. There is a real war going on. I think it's about time that we start acting like it. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for staying loyal followers of mine. And I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.